Welcome to the Your Home Podcast, brought to you by O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house.
And yes, welcome to Your Home Podcast. And it is Jane Newell, producer Jane, a little obsessed with real estate, I've got to say, with Stavros Ambazidis, who is, of course, one of three co-directors at O'Brien Real Estate. He owns three O'Brien offices. He's one of the best auctioneers in the state, does some property investing, is a bit of a powerhouse when it comes to the family and real estate and everyone wanting their little slice of the action, Stav. And today we have family in the studio with us. How are you? And welcome back. It's been great to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you again. It's been a couple of weeks since our last podcast, but Jane, happy Easter. Greek Easter, Aussie Easter, all Easters. So I was away in Byron Bay having a Greek lamb and painting all the town red with eggs. And you were away yourself.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a break, which included doing some renovations, so not actually heading anywhere warm and beautiful. How's the vibe in Byron, I have to say? Because I know that you have been keeping an eye on, you know, real estate for potentially, I'm going to say, your daughter, yeah?
Yeah, look, my daughter's got an engagement party coming up and then a wedding next year. But I can tell you right now, the vibe in Byron, they love Victorians. Half of the buyers they get in the northern rivers of New South Wales and the southern part of Queensland are from Victoria. Mm. And an interesting stat, there are buyers that are buying property sight unseen. When a property comes up, they're watching it on the internet and they're sending deposits over. The real estate agents are loving Victorians. And obviously it's the weather, the climate. I think it's the lifestyle. I think we work to live where they live to work, so... Yeah, it's interesting.
And we see sort of some articles about some of the big stars cashing in and selling homes in places like Byron. But does that mean other people go, oh, the Hemsworth are leaving town, we can actually get into the market now?
I don't know. There's too many people buying in. But an interesting article was that came out yesterday. Did you see, Liam, Hemsworth's PT property was passed in for $15 million.
No.
So even his PT is making a fortune.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty big part of his appeal, isn't it? We need to introduce our guest. Stav, I'm going to let you do the honours because she wants to jump in on the conversation here on Homestar.
I'm okay. I can wait.
Anastasia from Gogglebox. Let's just not keep it a secret any longer.
Ready. She's ready to go. And no.
Good morning.
Good morning, Anna. How are you?
How are you, cuz?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good.
Just for you that don't know, Stav and I are cousins. And yes, he's the best auctioneer ever.
And for those that don't know, Anastasia's the reason I got into real estate. So many, many years ago, in 1991, I remember being at a wedding. Andrew's wedding. And I was asking for some advice because I was a bit lost. I was at university, didn't know what to do. My father wanted to become a doctor, a medical practitioner.
What were you studying at uni?
Medicine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Okay. And, serious stuff.
But I'm not very good with blood, as Anna knows, as she knows.
I faint
quite regularly, but Anna convinced me. She was in real estate and I looked up to her, had her own business. And, take us back to those that day.
Oh, God. At the wedding?
At the wedding. The conversation you had with me.
I'll never, ever forget this. We were at another cousin's wedding, right? And I was sitting there with now my ex-husband. And Stav came up to me and he said, oh, you know, I want to do real estate. What do I do? How do I do it? Where do I go? So I advised him. I said, look, you've got to – back then, today it's different. Like you have an agent's rep course today. But back then you just got a job and I think – and your boss, I think, signed for you to get your
– Sub-agent's license.
Sub-agent's license. Yeah. That's how you started. It would have been sub-agent's license back then. So, yeah, from then on, and he's done wonderful. I'm very proud of him, you know, being the older cousin, very proud of him because he's done extremely, extremely well. You know, he's got one of the largest real estate businesses in Melbourne, if not the largest.
Oh, we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're the fastest growing.
Yeah. If not, the fastest growing.
In your eyes, we're the biggest.
Yeah, because I'm biased. Right?
But having known Stav for a while, and I think he's very much into a bit more mindfulness and well-being, yes. Is it more, though, apart from how big and successful he is it more that he actually seems to genuinely love his job?
He does. Do you know what? He makes sure that he's a hard worker, for starters. I'm not going to – very knowledgeable. He actually, to be honest with you, he knows more than what I do, right, because I haven't sold in a long time. But very knowledgeable. He's a great auctioneer, great boss, good to the start. Just, you know, the whole – what's the word I'm trying –
the ethos of the company.
The core values of real estate. Stav has incorporated everything into one, and that's why O'Brien's Real Estate is so successful. The way they train and the way they are with the staff and just the way they go about everything. And it's just amazing. They're just their moral, their values. That's the word, core values. It's just amazing.
I'm very proud of him
and I really mean that.
And there's something in that. I think anyone looking at getting into real estate or any industry, I think go and speak to someone that's an expert in that industry, an industry leader. Don't speak to friends or get third party opinions or people that are sitting on the couch. But I think it's really important to go and speak to someone that's actually living it, breathing it and doing it. But real estate's changed a lot since then. I remember back then we didn't have mobile phones.
So this is mid to late 80s.
So I started 91.
Oh, so you're 91, Anastasia. You've been doing it since 87.
We didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have pagers.
No computers.
Nothing. Then the pagers came. Remember, the pagers came first. Right, God, does that mean I'm really old? I still feel 20 though. So then we had the pagers, and then from the pagers we went on to installing mobile phones in our car that looked like bricks.
Yep.
You know, then we went on to the first mobile phones that looked like bricks, you know, and it's just like even technology over the years has developed and it's a lot different today than what it was.
Technology, there was no realestate.com, no internet portals. No. Everything was done. We'd have to put, we used to call it bums on seats. We'd have to put people in the car, drive them around and show them several properties. We'd take photos of properties, not on our mobile phones back then.
With cameras.
Cameras, take them to the chemist, get them developed and then pin them to a pin board in the window.
Yeah.
We used to wear double-breasted suits, I remember, pleats in our pants. It was very, very different. So what the youth of today and what real estate agents of today have got as their artillery in their toolbox and what buyers and vendors have got as their in their toolbox is so different now. It makes it so much easier. Where we can actually log in and see properties around the world. We can, you know, virtual tours. It's just so much easier. So, but that was a different world. But it made us stronger and harder. And one thing I learned, and I've learned this over time, Jane, is it's not the smartest or the hardest working that does the best. The people that survive are the ones that adapt the quickest. You know, computers weren't in my curriculum at school in high school. But we had to learn. So, no, so I do thank you for that. So thank you very much, Anna, for getting me into this industry.
And Anna, what do you think it was, though? There must have been something. I mean, Stav's at uni studying medicine. For anyone, like you say, thinking about this as an industry, there must have been something about the way he was dealing with people and working the room at the wedding. Or you must have seen a glimmer of something because really at its heart, both of you are people who relate to other people and that's why you're successful.
You know, I always think the firstborn in a family is the people person. I'm the firstborn as well, and so is Staff. And do you know, Jane, to be a real estate agent, it's got to be, it's in your blood. It's not, you know, I remember, I don't know now because I develop more than what I sell, but back in our days, young guys would get into it, not Staff. Staff generally had an interest in it, and they thought, oh, we're going to make, you know, fast money, and we're going to have the BMW, and we're going to have the Mercedes, and we're going to have this lifestyle. You know what I mean? But it's not about that. It's about, it's got to be in your blood. You've got to be a people person, and Staff is, you've got to, you know, because there's a lot of objectives to overcome when you're selling a home. Today, it's a bit different. In my days, you had to show them, you know, you had to really listen to them to what they wanted. Because if you take them to the wrong house, they would get upset. But nowadays, like Steve said, you've got the internet. They have a look on the internet and they make the decisions of where they want to go, which house they want to see. Am I correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it wasn't about what I saw in Steve. It was about he had a passion. I remember when he spoke and John was sitting with me as well. It was, you know, and he really genuinely had an interest. Now, when you go to uni isn't for everybody. You know, people start uni and then they think, oh, I don't want to do this. I couldn't see Stav as a doctor, honestly. There is no way.
Apart from the fainting and the screaming and the blood starts.
There is no way that a woman would come in and say, Dr. Stav, my breast is sore. Can you have... No way. There is no way I could see.
I thought maybe a cough, but she went straight to breast.
Oh, dear.
There's no way I could see Stav being a doctor.
I'll tell you a funny story. back in the 90s and late 80s, the after-hours number, where now accessibility is so important, people will call you at any time because we've got mobile phones, your after-hours number from work was your home number.
Yeah.
And I grew up on a flower farm. So it was Nicodina's Flowers. And people would ring up for a real estate question because they'd see my name on a board after-hours number. And my dad, English being his second language, so he was my secretary, which was quite funny.
You want to speak to staff? 1 minute, I get to...
Also, I can arrange some gerberas for you for the open inspection. So
I think you can. Yeah, we did. Well, with my dad, it was a different. We had a shop and I wasn't allowed to use the shop phone. So I had to go and actually get Telecom to put another
telecom
phone in.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's, oh, my God, Telstra. It's Telstra now. Well, back then it was, wasn't it Telecom?
Telecom. Yeah.
And I actually got my own phone in my bedroom.
Excellent.
Separate line with an answering machine.
Wow.
Yeah, so I would come home and I'd be working all day. Then I'd come home, listen to my answering machine, obviously, you know, return calls. So I used to work actually from my bedroom when I was home. I used to sit on my bed, big double bed, and work on my bed.
Working from home back in the 80s, you're a trailblazer and you didn't even know it was going to become a thing.
I know. It's the trend now.
So, Anna, can we talk a little bit, though, about how you have found success as well? And like I said, I think it's all about that, you know, being able to empathise and relate to people and people relating to you. Gogglebox 2015, is it? You and Faye have the opportunity to join. And for anyone who is perhaps, you know, not watching commercial TV or isn't up with Gogglebox, it's basically one of the highest rating reality entertainment TV shows in Australia. It's us watching people like Anastasia and Faye watch television. It was actually quite groundbreaking. Now we see it all the time, you know, on TikTok people post videos of them posting or watching someone post a video, but it was then quite groundbreaking.
Yes, it was.
So what on earth, like, were you and Faye watching TV together at the time and thought no brainer, or was this like two women who live in an area and let's get them on the telly?
No, it's actually a funny story. My father passed away in, I think, April 2014, yeah. And I started helping my mum at the market because she had a little business going on selling nuts and dried fruits and all her Greek biscuits and cakes and everything at markets, you know, and spanakopitas and tiropitas and all that. And our casting director came up and said to me, look, we're starting this new show.
Really?
And he wanted my phone number and he was with his mother. And if he wasn't with his mother, I would have been a bit hesitant. But then he gave me a brochure. So I gave him my phone number and I looked at the brochure. I was like, this is crap. I threw it in the bin. I threw the Gogglebox brochure in the bin. I'm thinking, this is crap. Me on TV, he's just lying. All good. A couple of days later, I'm driving home in the van from the market and I get a call from a girl called Carly in the production office. And she says, Anastasia, this is so-and-so. I actually nearly crashed the van on the east. I swear to God, I'm thinking, no, this can't be true. Because I used to say to my dad, I'm going to be famous one day.
Right? She did.
Yeah.
She did.
I see people that know me, I always, and am I allowed to say what my dad said to me?
Oh, sure.
It's a swear word.
Oh, no, go for it. No. It's a podcast. We're not on live radio.
I used to say to my dad, you watch me, I'm going to be famous one day. And you know what my dad used to say to me? I no want to hear your bullshits and your malakias. That's what my dad used to say to me. So anyway, then they want, I'll cut a long story short, they wanted me to do an audition with my family. So I picked my brother, his wife and their son. Then they rang me a couple of days later and said, we want you but not your family. TV's brutal.
Yeah.
You know that. It's honestly a brutal industry.
I've had that in the music industry. Yeah, like, we like you but the bass player and the drummer, can we just switch them up?
It's brutal.
Yeah.
So they said, have you got another Greek girl or someone that you could do it with? Faye was my last choice, actually. She was my last choice.
Shout out to you, Faye, if you're listening.
Yeah. My first choice was my girlfriend, Marina, that I've grown up with. She didn't want to do it. Then my girlfriend, Helen, she didn't want to do it. My girlfriend, Effie, she didn't want to do it. Mm. Mind you, now they all want to do it, but it's too late, you know, because they wanted to walk before they could crawl. You know, you've got to crawl.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing in life. You've always got to crawl before you walk. So then I thought, what am I going to do? And I'm looking through my phone and I thought, Faye, she'd be fun at it. So I didn't tell her. I just grabbed my daughter. I said, we're coming over tomorrow. We've got this interview about something. And I just rolled up and she lives in Mornington. Yeah, and that's we got casted. And the rest is history. The show's won five Logies, been nominated for 3 actor awards and won one.
That's amazing.
And I think it is something about the fact that you, I don't know, is there something in that that it's like, you know, here I am, take it or leave it, here's my house, here's my genuine appearance. Like, that's quite a sort of authentic thing, and that's also, I guess, how you're successful in a real estate career is like just authentically relating to people.
Oh, yeah, I've all, yeah. In real estate, I was always the different one. I had big lips on the back of my car. I had a four-wheel drive with a wheel cover, and it had Anna's 4x4 with big red lips in the middle. So everyone knew me in Mulgrave, Clayton, Glen Waverley, Mount Waverley, all those areas.
So you're not shy, really?
No, it wasn't a huge step. But I've always liked people. I've always been a people person. So, and I loved real estate. I like Stav. I loved it. And sometimes when I go and watch Stav do an auction, which, you know, I think, do I go and work for Stav? Do I go back into real estate? And then I have a brain snap, and then 5 minutes later, it's over. you know, because I don't think I could go back to selling now. I've been there, done that. You know, but I just love people. I used to, every time I sold a house, I thought, how challenging, especially if they were difficult ones, difficult sales or difficult negotiations. Or
so tell us about some of those. Like, what would you classify as a difficult sale? And Stav, on notice, I would like you to, you know, is there things in your past and you think, oh, I remember that place that was a nightmare?
Normally with me, I don't know what they're like today. With me, it was always the price. It's always the negotiation of the price. Would you agree, Stav?
Yeah, things have changed a little bit now. Now it's more the situation as well, because there's a lot of different situations in people's lives that they don't actually expose you to, whether it's a divorce, financial pressure.
True. And I need and motivation. This to happen because,
So people can be a little bit combative or rude once they realise we're on the same side and we need to know everything so we can assist them. To facilitate their next move, then it makes things very, very different. But they can be quite combative. And when we're walking through a house and we see that there's no female clothes in the house, only male clothes, and you can tell when it's a male, you know, polarity sort of home opposed to a female polarity home, that someone's missing.
Yeah.
Or you see, you know, kids' furniture, but the kids aren't there. Because obviously they have them every second fortnight or whatever it is. So,
and not that you're judging that situation.
No, it's just never. Like,
if we know that actually now you're paying two rents on two separate properties, and hey, this is from someone who has been through a separation in the last couple of years, it is a very tricky time in someone's life.
Yeah.
And then we walk in and we need to know these things, because then we can stage the property, we can style it, get it prepared, because that's very, very important.
See, we never did in my day. No. It was we used to tell the vendors, just make sure that your house is neat and tidy, right? And there was really no preparation.
I remember that. We used to say, neat and tidy, put the kettle on, make sure coffee's brewing.
Brewing, yeah.
And bread in the oven. And that that used to be where styling used to finish back in the
Maybe
90s.
Maybe some gerberas.
And some gerberas from Dad.
Divorce, always selling a home that was divorced, it was very hard because you're in the middle. Yeah, they're both, they hate each other. One wants to sell it, the other one doesn't. One wants to accept the offer, the other one wants to stick it up, the other one, they don't want to accept the offer.
Yeah. It's just, that's where your challenge is.
Yeah.
But when the motivation's high and you can read the play, read the room, find out what's going on, then we can act accordingly.
Yeah.
Whether it's an expressions of interest, an auction, a private sale. So method of sale comes into it. And marketing. I think that's the other big challenge these days. You need to market. If you don't market, it's like Google. If you're not on the first page when you're searching, then forget it. Most people don't go to the second page. So again, it's really important. Marketing's important because you want to be on that first page of the internet portals. So that's front and centre, really.
The marketing, yes. I don't know with you today, but back in the 90s, people just didn't want to pay the money for marketing. They just didn't understand about the – it's like, you know, you look at Coca-Cola or Pepsi or all those big companies. Look at all the marketing, or Nike, all the – real estate's no different. You need the marketing.
Well, there's been a huge shift in that, where now vendors pay for marketing, where back then it was the agent that actually gave the commission included marketing. Yeah. So, or no sale, no charge, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so developing then, Anastasia, becomes something that comes into your life, and you're actually about to put a property.
The first one.
So this is built as an investment to sell. Mm-hmm. Is it different? I'm assuming you've had, you know, properties in the past. We might talk about some of them, but knowing, don't get attached. This is to,
you know what? That's
not
really
your first build, though.
It's not my first build. No. It's my first development to sell.
Okay. Knowing that you would definitely be selling, not living in it. Yes.
My first build was the house that I live in now. Mm-hmm. We knocked it down. And I rebuilt.
So that's the Gogglebox
house. The Gogglebox house, yes. Yep. And it's not a nothing spectacular. At the time, I just wanted something for the kids and I, just something comfortable because I had a very old home. Then we knocked down my mum's house in Mount Martha and rebuilt that one as well, right? Then at the same time, and this is funny, talking about the internet, the house that we knocked down now that I'm developing, I saw that for sale on the internet. In Glen Waverley, I was looking for properties. I looked at the area, right, looked at the house, right, never ever went inside, turned up on the day of the auction. I hadn't even seen inside the house and I bought it.
There you go.
I bought it all because of that's. I knew what I wanted and there was an Asian guy bidding against me, right, and I said to him at the auction, I'm going to beat you. You watch me. I'm going to get this off you. I'm going to beat you. Right, so I think I paid.
Intimidating the bidders.
Yeah.
I don't think that's allowed these days.
I did.
That's one of the clauses we have to read out as auctioneers.
And I still reckon I paid $100,000 more than what I was supposed to. But because I knew the area and it was one of the areas that I worked in, I knew once I develop it that I will get the money back. I wasn't worried about spending the extra $100,000. So we started building it, I think. Was it February this year, Steph?
Oh, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm not a great expert. Please don't. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm this big developer because I'm not. Okay, but that's always been my aim is to get there. That's from very young in real estate. I've always wanted to develop, and you know, along the way things happen, and you just can't. So it's my actual first development. You want to turn over. You want to have it from start to finish about a 7 to 8 month build. Because, you know, you're borrowing money and don't forget the longer they take, the more you're paying back to the bank and the more it's eating in your profit. You know what I mean? So
your holding costs.
Yeah. And it's a headache because we've gone to have a look at the property and we've seen a few mistakes here and there. Mm-hmm. They're going to get rectified, not a problem. But compared to the other two that I've built, this one's been progressing a bit slower, but still a lot of fun. Gab and I are doing our first development together. It's a lot of fun.
Now Gab is your love interest / fiance.
Oh my God, he's gorgeous. Fiance. He is like the hottest and the best ever.
Is it weird though to have a public profile and then, you know, later in life, let's face it, find love and realise that, you know, you're on a Daily Mail story or clickbait?
You know, I never thought that I would meet. I wasn't even looking for anybody, honestly. Then I met Gab. And I don't know, you know what? I'm a good person. So I think good things happen to good people.
Of course they do.
You know, and we all have our faults. You know, not every relationship is perfect, but in the schemes of things, he's a very good person.
And so developing, because my point is actually that it's difficult developing property. It's difficult renovating or, you know, even getting ready to sell. Yeah. How has the relationship gone with the pressure of developing? And
I'll tell you
will
how
you get to
gone.
Auction?
They haven't killed each other yet.
No, we haven't killed each other yet. And I'll tell you why. Because I've been on my own for so long and I've had to do things on my own for so long that I actually just agree with everything that Gab says. I don't care. As long as we sell it, I don't care what he does.
Okay, so you haven't gone completely, full control mode. Yeah.
He always, the thing about Gab is he will never do anything without telling me or asking me, okay? It's always, for him, it's very important to always have feedback. So he'll say to me this, this or this, and I'll say to him, I'll give an opinion, I'll go, whatever you think, I'll leave it up to you. So that's why it works, because I'm not there saying, oh no, I want this and I want that. No, it's not. I'm so tired of doing things on my own that I actually welcome that someone else is there doing
it. There is a difference too. This isn't an emotional connection or an emotional decision.
It's not.
It's a commercial decision.
Yeah.
So with a commercial decision, where I see a lot of mistakes where developers or rookie developers make is they get very emotional rather than making the commercially smart decision.
So when it comes to styling this new property, and like Gab has obviously taken a lot of the decisions on board, how much work are you going to put into actually getting it ready for sale?
And none.
Did you say Stav's going to be auctioning for you?
Stav's doing the auction without a doubt. Styling, we're getting, you know, the people that you use?
Yeah, so we've got a styling team that comes in and they stage and style. And they're fantastic.
And you're not lifting couches and
no,
putting
no.
Gerberas in?
Oh, God, no. I'm past all that. No.
No. Fantastic. Steph, for people who might be in a similar situation, is it, you know, you've said so many times before, it is a really crucial part of getting a home ready for sale, even if it's not just an investment property. So for anyone thinking, you know, as times get a little tight, that they're just going to skimp on all of that, remind us why not to.
Well, I can give you a really good case study. So we had a property that was taken to market, went to auction late January. It wasn't styled, wasn't marketed correctly. We had renters in the property, and you can't tell renters how to live, but they did an amazing job to let us go through the property. We didn't sell it at auction. We didn't have any bids at auction. Seven weeks later, the renters actually moved out. We styled it, staged it, took it to market. It got $100,000 over reserve, 28 bids in 8 minutes. It was in a Bayside suburb of Edithvale. And to give you an idea, it was just chalk and cheese, 7 weeks difference. Mm. Now, people say to me, it could have been a different market 7 weeks apart. But the thing is, late January, I auctioned that property, and in the parallel street, I auctioned another property. The other one actually did go ballistic, you know, sold for $1.5 million. So when you look at staging, styling, preparation, photography, floor plan, so important. It's really, really important that you because it doesn't matter how long the property's been on the market, it's how long the buyers have been on the market. So when you withdraw a property off the market and put it fresh, buyers that have been there looking for the last 6 months, they're red hot to go. So it doesn't matter how long the property has been on the market, it's how long the buyers have been on the market. Now, the final part to this story is the person that bought it and paid $100,000 over was it. Actually came through the first campaign.
Oh, no.
But he saw it with different glasses.
Interesting.
So isn't
How interesting is that?
Totally different glasses on. So that's how important styling lighting is. You know, we had the lights changed. We put the brighter halogen lights. We opened the curtains. It was just totally different.
Yeah, it's all about the styling. Yeah. It is. You know, like, you know, if you go on a date and you're going to meet a guy for the first time, you're not going to go in your old clothes, no makeup, your hair not done or anything. You're going to get dolled up to look hot for this man. Selling a house is no different.
Absolutely. Yeah,
do you agree?
Even before that, I was almost going to say it's like internet dating. It's like, put a decent profile pic on there, please,
So a house is no different. You know, you've got to
first impressions.
You do, and you've got to walk in and feel it in here when you walk in.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to. How do you say it in English? And the rhythmicity of the house.
The vibe of the thing.
The
if
vibe,
we can quote Daryl Dale Kerrigan.
Yeah, the vibe.
It's all about the vibe.
It's all about the vibe. Okay, so let's hope for a successful auction. We need to get an update on this, Stav, because I'm fascinated to see how
we
this process.
We might even film it. We'll get someone to film it.
Yeah, we'll get it filmed. And,
that's
and we'll,
amazing.
We'll get Anastasia back after the auction.
So. So have you already got your eye on another piece of property?
I have actually in the same area. Yeah. I'm always driving around because I don't live far from where we're building just to see what's going on, what's selling, what it's been sold for. I constantly look on the internet, see what properties around there are selling for. I get updates on my phone. I have all the real estate agents there that give me updates of what's going on. They're all dying to sell it, but no, I've said to them.
Family has to sell it.
Yeah.
O'Brien Real Estate.
Well, I say that I work for you.
Cousin of Stav, Anastasia, also from Gogglebox. Are we watching on our tellies? Are you filming? What's the...
I'm filming today and tonight it's on, I think, 9 o'clock on Channel 10 after I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
So
would you go on that?
Huh?
Would you
Bloody oath I would.
You'd go on Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
100%.
Oh.
Would you watch?
Oh, I would watch.
Could you imagine if I had to eat cow's balls or something? I would throw up. I would actually throw up.
And if the casting people for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here would like to get in touch with us, there are links in the show notes. That would be great television. So Gogglebox, look, it's always on some streaming service or on some catch-up service, so you can catch up with Anastasia and, of course, her partner in crime, on Gogglebox, Faye. With Stav, you can check his updates and jump onto the O'Brien Real Estate website. And people, I mean, your phone number's there, Stav. People listening can actually just get in touch with you.
Well, they do. And some people have actually got in touch with you over the last couple of weeks. And we've listed a beautiful waterfront property in Frankston South on the cliff there, through this podcast.
Nice.
Wow.
So,
oh, fantastic.
So thank you, Jane.
And we've also had some great feedback on our last episode with Alice Stoltz from Domain, who was just such a wonderful guest. We've got a lot of new listeners, so welcome if you're new to your home. Make sure you go back and listen to that one, though, because I found Alice really inspiring. And
Very insightful.
There's been so much talk about bridesmaid suburbs since we did that episode.
Yep. It's been discussed, actually, in a lot of O'Brien Real Estate sales meetings.
So look for the bridesmaids.
We've discussed a lot about auctions today. Now, I did get this question, you know, some advice on auctions. I'm going to my first auction. What should I do? And that was one of the questions that came through our last podcast. I'm going to debunk a myth here. If you're going to go and bid at an auction, one thing you really, really need to do, go and see that auctioneer and how he bid, how he conducts himself at other auctions. Being aware of how an auctioneer conducts himself or how that real estate office conducts themselves will give you a great insight on how you should bid. Because a lot of people turn up to an auction for the first time, never seen that auctioneer before, never been to that company before.
It's downright intimidating stuff.
It is. Really intimidating. Oh.
If you don't know what you're doing, it can be.
Oh, it's so quick and fast-paced.
Be forearmed. Like, get there, be warned, or be aware, I should say. Be aware of what's going on. Watch the, you know, how many times does he call it? Does he call it first call, second call, third call? Is it a trial close? Or is he really going to sell it?
Yeah.
You know, what's really going on? And another thing, make sure if you go to many auctions prior to bidding on the auction you want to, make sure what the crowd looks like. Make sure it's not a, you know, a renter crowd. Maybe they've actually just filled the crowd, because that does happen a lot, you know, where people just invite all their friends and family.
Family to come.
So it looks busy. So have a look at the crowd. Are they identifiable? So just go to some previous auctions.
Yeah, love that.
You know one thing that I haven't told you? You know this about me. I don't know if you know this about me.
You're an auctioneer?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. When I first started in real estate, I was one of the very first women.
Oh, I reckon you could get back into that, couldn't you?
We've got to get it.
I've done auctions, not for house, but like when my kids were at school and they used to have
charities
and fundraiser nights and that, I would auction off all the
donations.
Yeah. And that.
Oh, look out.
But I don't do it in real estate. I'm happy to sit in the background. But have you ever watched Stav do an auction?
Oh, amazing. You can jump on the O'Brien website and actually see him.
You know that one that you auctioned by the beach that time where you could walk into the... If I had the money, I would have bought that house.
Yeah,
I promise
you. That was quite intimidating for me as an auctioneer. There was 250 people there.
Wow.
Some high affluent people around, you know, celebrities.
High rollers.
A few AFL players. But the thing is, no one knows how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there to do the job. So, no, very composed.
But you know what? Regardless of how you're feeling, you still do a great job and no one would know.
There you go.
You're the best, Stav.
Oh, if you want to get in touch. Stav.
1-800, call me now.
You're the best reference for your cousin.
I know.
There are, I have to say before we leave, 30-plus first cousins in this little brood here.
Between the two of us from mum and dad's sides, there's about 70, 80 of us.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There's a few cousins.
It's been great to keep it in the family this week.
Thank you.
Like I said, if you're new to the podcast, you're listening via a link you've stumbled on social media, just subscribe, whatever podcast platform you listen in, means that you'll get our episodes each week. Go back and listen to Alice Stoltz from Domain. She was fantastic. All the links in the show notes. And if you want to send us a question or perhaps an observation, podcasts@sen.com.au. And a thanks to the team from O'Brien Real Estate. Thank you, Anastasia. Thank you, Stav.
Thank you.
We'll catch you again in another couple of weeks here on the Your Home podcast by O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house.
Thanks for listening to the Your Home podcast, brought to you by O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house.